The prophetic depictions of the wheels were made in 595 BC. Later, John the Revelator was apparently inspired to write further details in connection with the living creatures, in 96 AD regarding the phenomena of power blasts, seemingly as manifested by a form of cosmic or nuclear energy. These accounts were recorded from approximately 1491 BC to 712 BC. These accounts are found throughout the Bible. In these days we are passing through a stage of life where the religious leaders of this world should take very serious note. We have been taught by these leaders, since man can remember, that Jesus was born of flesh and blood like any earthling. We are taught that he took that body to heaven, or the sky, as the sky was always referred to as heaven in those days. A few years ago we were told that the Holy Church proclaimed that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was taken up the same way. Many churches teach that both Elijah and Enoch were caught up alive into heaven also. These people went alive to some other planet where they apparently were able to live in comfort. All of this proves that when we get spaceships, as the spacemen do, we should be able to travel to their planets and continue to live there. We have been taught this in our religious thought. We uphold the statement made by Jesus of the many mansions. We also have the prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How are we to obey this command unless someone from heaven comes down to instruct us? All these things have been prophesied to us and we have been told they would take place, things such as strange happenings in the skies. These things are being fulfilled, are they not? What is our ministry going to do? Are they going to tell us they have been teaching us a fairy story all the time? Or are they going to admit that these things are true now, that what they have been teaching all this time was a truth and today we have the manifestation of that truth? It is quite important that they do consider this, since the Bible mentions so many such manifestations in the early times. If this happens, it will mean that these spaceships, known as flying saucers, do support our teachings and do support the records of the Bible. If we are to accept the Bible and the teachings of the ministry as the truth, then now is the time to prove them to be. These appearances of flying saucers are fulfilling prophecy. Besides, we must admit, there is no use fooling ourselves. Our younger generation is not going to fill our churches as the older generation has. This is especially true since every government in the world is endeavoring to build satellites to send into outer space. I feel that within a comparatively short time we will be traveling through space to another planet in one of our own ships. Each time we venture farther into space, these youngsters who are space-minded, and there are millions of them, will be seeing this development of outer space as a vast contrast to the teachings they have been receiving from the spiritual side. Unless the spiritual leaders of today can blend with the advancement of man into space, by 1970 they will find their churches empty and themselves out of a job. These youngsters of today will see facts and reality and will follow them. They are so inclined right now. We are in those days. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If 6:12. Apply this to the world today and what have you? We can see what is actually happening and whether the prophecies are actually being fulfilled. This should not cause any fear. This should be accepted with understanding, an admission of things that are present. The Bible states that in the latter days men's hearts shall fail them for fear. Luke 21:26. I don't want to be a preacher in the sense of preaching, but I cannot ignore the truth. Notice how people all over the world are dying of heart failure today, just as the prophecy foretold. Why? Because upon the earth we find the nations perplexed and in distress. We find the sea and the waves roaring. Luke 21:25. We are having earthquakes and tidal waves such as the world has never seen before. We have had as many major earthquakes in 14 weeks as is normal in 2.5 years. Luke 21:11, let us wake up. Let us humble our ego a little and we might see clearly what is taking place. The sources are not here to harm or frighten anyone. They have injured no one, although they have been accused by those who do not understand their purpose. They have not committed hostile acts against our planes or kidnapped their crews. Some may have been taken, just as Elijah was, and later returned to teach what they know. Maybe this is yet to come, and those who have vanished will be returning with such messages, if we do not put them in the psycho wards. Could it be that we are the guilty ones? Captain Rubelt's book admitted that our military men have shot at them. If these objects are what the Air Force claims, why shoot? If they are interplanetary spaceships, why shoot? In the latter case, anyone with a technology great enough to travel space could certainly shoot back. The fact they haven't proves conclusively that these visitors are friendly and have no desire for the conquest of our planet. If they had desired to conquer us, we would have been entirely unable to defend ourselves. We could never exceed their scientific ability, and most certainly we could never catch up to them in any of the best rockets or planes we have. They have never shown any type of hostility toward us, since everything that comes from the sky, or heaven, has always been considered an angel, God or Lord. Then are we not shooting at angels? Does not this fulfill the biblical prophecy that in the last days the nations of earth will resist the angels coming from heaven to help us in our time of need? Remember, angels were always described as normal men. Nowhere does the Bible say angels have wings. Genesis 18:2 describes three angels who appeared unto Abraham, as looking exactly like three men. In many biblical cases we find angels who walked along a road with people, partook of their food or lodging and later revealed themselves as angels instead of the ordinary men they looked. Heb. 13:2, Luke 16:5, etc., who is to say that these people from other planets are not being sent here as they were in earlier days? Every time man gets into trouble they seem to appear and instruct him on how to overcome his troubles. If he listens he usually goes out of trouble with a minimum of effort or ill effect, but if he ignores the advice, he receives just what he has earned. What greater trouble could the world be in, than that in which it finds itself right now? Many people want to know if the space people are Christians. I would say they are better Christians than we are. We have never believed in the teachings of Jesus. We have rehearsed them and that is all. We have done this in order to keep the Christian label and his name before the people. But this is all. Anything a man believes, he lives, and we have never lived Christ's teachings. Had we lived the teachings of Christ, we would not have the pains, aches, sorrows or the threat of annihilation hanging over us today. If his teachings were applied to our everyday living, these conditions would not be present. A virtual heaven on earth would have been established. Every now and then we rehearse Christ's teachings, on Sunday, Christmas, Easter, then we go right out and forget all about them until the next time we are reminded. We have never taken hold of them to the point of living them. Now again we find the messengers are warning us. When I asked the boys, as I stated in Inside the Spaceships, if we should shoot you down or get you in the sights of our guns so we could shoot you down, would you defend yourself with the power you have? They answered, no. We would have to die, because we could not take advantage of our brothers who do not understand. Did not Jesus say the same thing when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. We would have asked for revenge. Let me emphasize this one point. I do not know of any man in any government who has not had some religious training, who does not pay respect to some supreme being, whatever his understanding may be. What does a man like that think about when he shoots at these people coming our way? If he believes his Bible and religious training, then he knows that angels have come from heaven to guide men and that they are to come again in the last days. He knows they have to return, if they ever left, to fulfill prophecy. Then is he not challenging the band of God in shooting at them? Why try to destroy the messengers sent to aid us at this time? If we are going to claim ourselves as Christians, then let us follow Christian law instead of shooting at those who might be our very saviors. Captain Ruppelt tells of instances when we have fired upon UFOs. While he does not refer to many cases, they have been shot at many times. According to some rumors, some of these ships have been brought down and lives sacrificed because of our ignorance. Let us re-examine the whole situation in the light of God's own intelligence, the light of the true Christian, not that of a Christian in name alone. We will then understand the days we are living in and what we must be prepared for. When we do that, we will be doing good for ourselves and serving our Creator and purpose as well. Then and only then can we consider ourselves as true Christians. These people are coming our way to help those who wish to know the truth. Let us not ignore them. Let us learn all we can so that we may be saved, if any saving is to be done. This means too that by saving humanity, this truth saves religion and also saves the church. By promoting a friendly feeling toward these people from the heavens, we shall welcome them into our midst and our homes can be honored with their presence. As it states in Hebrews 13:2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Many have undoubtedly done so already, many may have knowingly entertained them, but we can all entertain them when we develop the right attitude toward them. Let us not be ashamed of Christ's teachings. Let us preach them, live them, and bring the knowledge of them closer to the hearts of every man. Not from an earthly angle, not from a church or denominational angle, but rather from a universal or cosmic angle. Did not Jesus say, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd." John 10:16. The Bible gives positive evidence that the worlds were created expressly to be inhabited. Life is not an accident of nature. Isaiah 45:18 reads, "For thus said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else." It is reasonable to assume that if God created this world to be inhabited, he must have created the others to be inhabited also. The Bible backs up my previous statement that others not of this world are living among us. It is found in John 17:14 as follows, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world." Verse 16 repeats the statement. Some believe these verses refer to the apostles themselves and not to space people living among us. It is easy to see this is not the case, as Jesus, who is speaking, makes it a point to say, "even as I am not of this world." This can mean the apostles themselves were born here from another world for the express purpose of working with Jesus. They could have been some of those who are born here with a partial or total loss of memory of previous experiences. Even the mothership is referred to in the Bible as a flying role. Ezek 5:1-2, "The only common thing in that day and age that could be compared to a cigar-shaped spacecraft was a roll of parchment." In Zechariah 6:1 we find reference to four chariots that come out from between two mountains. Could these be the same as the chariots of Jeremiah 4:13? Here we find them coming as clouds, with chariots like the whirlwind and horses swifter than eagles. The reference to eagles and clouds shows that the chariots were flying. It might be well at this time to comment upon the cherub of the Bible. The strange flying machines that Ezekiel saw, as described previously, were cherubs. These are thought to be some type of angel by some scholars of the Bible. However, they are used as a means of transportation in several instances, showing they are ships of some kind. The cherub of Ezekiel remains a saucer. Another example of a cherub is found in 2 Samuel 22:11, "And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind." A parallel instance is recorded in Psalms 18:10. Here David calls upon the Lord for help and the Lord arrives on a cherub, "And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." The characteristic cloud of fire accompanies him. Evidently the early church came to believe the cherub was an angel because it was described as flying on wings. They had no knowledge of the nature of the space travelers and assumed that die ships were fire-breathing animals of some sort. They couldn't conceive of mechanical constructions made to navigate the heavens. I imagine the automobile would have been described as another type of angel or cherub, or perhaps as a demon or devil. The idea of angels having wings growing out of their shoulders and wearing long white robes was instilled in the minds of present-day people by the great artists who pictured them as such. The Bible has always described them as ordinary men from other worlds. It is affirmed that we can become like the space visitors if we so desire. Psalms 82:6 and John 10:34 both state, "Ye are gods." So, we have the potential to climb back from where we have fallen. Let us strive mightily for the fulfillment of that destiny. 11. Metaphysics, psychism, religion. Because there is so much confusion existing today in the minds of people who are seeking better understanding of themselves, the purpose of life in this world and factual information regarding people from other planets, it seems appropriate to give the definitions of several words that are commonly being misused today. These are words that have come into use in relation to the space travelers, but, in the sense in which they are being used, they have no place whatever. If the reader will study carefully the definitions given below, he will quickly see that originally, and in their true essence, each of these words implies a seeking for understanding of the cause behind the manifested form. The words psyche and psychic pertain to the human mind or soul, the sense mind that is so filled with confusion and divisions. Psychic denotes certain abnormal and obscure mental phenomena such as hypnotism, occultism, etc. Occult is a word used to denote things hidden from the eye of understanding. Things mysterious, invisible, secret, undetected, etc., such as the occult qualities of matter. During the Middle Ages, the occult sciences were what we now popularly call the physical and natural sciences, chemistry, physics, astronomy, etc. Occultism itself is the investigation of mysterious things, the name given to a system of theosophy practiced in the East. Its adepts claim to be able to produce seemingly miraculous effects by purely natural means. Theosophy, or wisdom concerning God, was the insight into the character and purposes of the divine mind, or knowledge of divine things. Specifically, it was a system of religion based on the notion that a knowledge of divine things is gained by ecstasy, direct intuition, or special revelation. Philosophy, as it is understood today, may be defined as the universal science which aims at an explanation of all the phenomena of the universe by ultimate causes. When applied to any particular department of knowledge, it denotes the collection of general laws or principles under which all the subordinate phenomena or facts related to that subject are comprised. An area of great confusion exists concerning the word metaphysics. The so-called metaphysicians of today are not working with metaphysics at all. They have manufactured a pseudo-religious idea that in actuality is not at all related to any of the true metaphysical ideas. Metaphysics is the science of first or ultimate principles behind the explanation of all phenomena, philosophy in general. The philosophy of mind, psychology, or the science of mental phenomena, is a branch of metaphysics. A little thought on the subject will quickly show one that present-day psychism, compared with the real meaning as given above, is nothing more than a perversion of the true science of the occult, metaphysics, etc. One cannot gain an understanding of any of these sciences overnight. It takes a lifetime of study and living to accomplish such knowledge. The real student never seeks publicity but lives quietly, studying and applying that which he learns. Such students never see any division between the invisible cause and the physical form. They realize that neither could be without the other, that an external blend makes the whole possible. As he studies in this manner, the sincere seeker is often capable of observing pattern forms which culminate in definite events. Throughout the history of world events, certain patterns have been repeated time after time. The student realizes that, without intervention by other conditions, these patterns can and will work out again as time progresses. Because there is that unpredictable something about both man and nature, accurate prophecy cannot be made, especially as to a time and place for the complete and perfect working out of a form pattern. For these reasons, a wise man never gives dire warnings of events to come, nor does he make definite promises when the unforeseeable may enter and change the course of events. Compare, then, many of our present-day psychics, who claim to have attained overnight the power and understanding with which to prophesy, and who make personal promises to any and all, via, they say, communication with the space people. Physical or spirits, they care not. Their information for the most part is received through the Ouija board, automatic writing, trance, or invisible people talking into their minds. By such methods, promises have been made from time to time of mass landings by space people planning to take over control of Earth and her inhabitants. One man has declared himself to be the one chosen to become ruler of the world when this takes place. Nothing could be further from the truth. The brothers have no intention of taking over anybody. To the best of my knowledge, no Earthman has been appointed to act as their sole representative. True, may have volunteered their services, but not one has been accepted above all others. In Europe I encountered reports of two Ashtars, totally different in character, but each claiming supreme command over large numbers of space travelers. From such dubious sources have come promises of personal contacts, sometimes even with specific dates and instructions as to time and place. I have yet to hear of any of these promises being fulfilled. Many people have been promised rides in spaceships and were sadly disillusioned when the trips did not occur. Warnings of tragic events to take place, with promises to pick up and save these who have raised their frequencies, fall into the same category. These are but a few of the many messages being promiscuously broadcast today, purportedly from the space visitors. Such fallacies have no place in our associations with people of other worlds. Contrary to such reports, the liaison teams from other planets are not here to rescue a selected few. They have come to help us develop a realistic, scientific and philosophical knowledge of the cosmos, which can be readily absorbed by any Earthman who is really interested in brotherhood between men, with the purpose of establishing the age-old hope of peace on Earth, goodwill toward all. This relationship must be accomplished in our world before our planet can resume its rightful place in the system. During the years that such false rumors and reports have been increasing in numbers, the thinking public has turned away, at times in disgust, and has impatiently rejected the reality of interplanetary travelers, especially the validity of personal contacts of any sort, classifying them all as being in the same worthless category. Now, little by little, with scientific events developing as they are today, the thinkers are demanding logical explanations of that which can no longer be denied. But they want no fantasies or confidence games. Right here let me say that I have no doubt that many people who receive messages of various types through the channels of trances, Ouija boards, automatic writing, etc., actually are convinced that their experiences are real and originate outside their own mind. In reality, such experiences are produced by the subconscious and can be compared to dreams in which we see people, hear voices, hold intelligent conversations, and are often able to accomplish fantastic feats totally impossible to us during our waking hours. The human mind is a complex, natural electronic machine, and the self-induced trance state is an open door to the subconscious. In these semi-hypnotic states, the subconscious initiates supposedly profound observations into the mysteries of philosophy, UFOs, world affairs and so on. When the receiver of these so-called messages awakens, he firmly believes that some outside agency was responsible for the information received. He fails to see the resemblance between the ordinary dream and the trance or mediumistic dream. Many of the random thoughts that pass through the minds of people as they go about their daily chores would, if seized upon and carefully evaluated, yield valuable information direct from the universal storehouse of knowledge. These thoughts are, in essence, true telepathy, and useful in building the experience and knowledge required for true intellectual advancement. They do not come from spirits, either of this world or out of this world. When a person has developed his ability to the point of correctly tuning in these thoughts of a universal nature, he will be channeled toward constructive rather than destructive purposes. Gone will be thoughts of divisions and personal aspirations. He will begin to see the answers behind age-old questions of an abstruse philosophical nature. He will become able to harness certain of nature's forces, and the entire cosmos will open and gradually reveal itself to him. Studies in this direction are truly of the sciences, regardless under what name one might wish to catalogue them. During the past quarter of a century, people in our world have been awakened and are more desirous than ever for better understanding. Some quickly see the shortcomings of psychic messages being given today, purportedly from the space travelers, and turn to seek elsewhere in their search for wisdom. Others are overcome with the pleasure granted the ego by false teachers, and stop to play for a while. But, since eternity is just that, these children will in time tire of their play and again take up their search for true wisdom and understanding. Telepathy is the inherent birthright of every human, but who knows the workings of his mind well enough to be capable of such communication, accurately received and understood? True, many in our world today are studying this science, but few have become masters of it, and I am not one of those few. The space people are experts in telepathy, both in sending and receiving. They know that it is characteristic of most earthlings, even among close friends, and without intention of misunderstanding, to interpret what is heard according to what one expects to hear. When repeated, the information is given according to the hearer's interpretation, and is often totally different from the original meaning, thus creating frequent misunderstanding and confusion. In addition, many earthly languages have identical words with different meanings. Not only is this true within a single nation, but the same word is often interpreted entirely differently between nations. For instance, in the USA a radiogram is a wireless message. In Australia a radiogram is what we call a phonograph, or record player. There are many such differences, as one learns when traveling or studying more than one language. Full understanding of the mind is important before one can become accurate in telepathy, for, to be a good receiver of thought, one must be able to completely eliminate personality. The human mind is like a sponge that can be saturated with every impression that comes along. When it is habitually concerned with its own personal interests, it is impossible for it to receive a message accurately, regardless of its source. To do so requires total elimination of all personal interests. In other words, the line must be clear. For instance, if two people are talking on a telephone, and one does all the talking, he is incapable of hearing what the other might be trying to tell him. The average earthly mind is much like the incessant talker. It is seldom quiet enough to listen to anything or anyone. Even when it is in an apparent listening state, it is forming questions to be asked later, or stopping to reason on what has been said, thus losing what is in the process of being said. Again, one might compare most of those who are today claiming mental contact with the space people with a housewife who, having been away from home, returns to an empty and silent house. To have company, she turns on the radio or TV without selecting any particular program. She only wants the sound of someone's voice in the house to keep her company. The atmosphere around every planet, as well as space itself, is filled with thought forms, of both the past and present, and of every known characteristic. Therefore he who, without understanding, opens his mind for messages, makes himself the willing receiver for any passing thought regardless of its nature. That is why there are so many frightening messages and false promises being received. They are but repetitions of historic events through which mankind was brought into servitude of one kind or another, thereby losing its inherent birthright of peace, happiness and true freedom, which can be assured only through wisdom, and respect between man and man. The space travelers have recognized all these conditions. They do not condemn them, for they understand that they are one process of growing, unpleasant experiences. They know, too, that the material of which such experiences are composed will not stand up in the light of true understanding. It is for this reason that they have not used telepathy to convey information to the inhabitants of Earth. Personal meetings are used along with some telepathy, as was my case, so that they can be reasonably sure the information they wish to convey is passed on correctly. Even so, there have been misunderstandings of their words, and inaccurate accounts given, through slight distortions by the receiver of the information. Telepathy by itself can never be relied on. Another problem which the space travelers have met in their attempts to help their earthly brothers is the matter of those who have endeavored to turn their coming into a religion. A number of cults have been established in their name, of which they are in wholehearted disapproval. The interplanetarians are not superhuman, they are not gods, and do not want to be worshipped. To them, religion is the science of life to be lived as taught by nature, with new thoughts and understanding constantly being given them by the supreme intelligence alone. They did not realize to what extent earth people have been taught to accept religious interpretations handed down by others as gospel truth, with few ever daring to think for themselves on the subject. Although the brothers do not have religious rules and rituals as we on earth, they do not condemn our practices. They know that all faiths are founded upon a pearl of wisdom. Divisions have been established solely by the ritualistic cloak worn. Basically, all are the same.